I started being funny. And that's that like got me liked more than my looks.
What's one way that the community today has changed from when you started? There are so many different ways, but I'm curious, like, what your perspective is.
Well, when I started, it was a bond, actually, with the entertainers. However, there was still diversity in the cultures, because where I started from, it was like on Park Avenue past Saratoga Street, there was a bar called the Go West, and it was almost like a little home clique there. And further up downtown was the Hippo and Grand Central and all that stuff. And down there, it was a family type of thing. But once you went in there and you got to know other people, they included you as a family. But up on the hill, it was still, okay, well, we'll let you perform in our club, but don't think this is your way in. So it was diversified that way. And growing up, I was the one that wanted to come up on the hill and perform there, which is that's what we called it, the hill. And the hill. And I would go up, see shows, and invite maybe one or two of them down to see me down at the Go West. And that's pretty much how I started getting famous, because they would invite me up there every once in a while. So I would entertain up there, and I would basically let the crowd see what I could do. So it wasn't me trying to get into a show. But nowadays, you put on a streak of mascara and you're in the show. You don't need to know how to entertain. Just have a famous record that's out and danceable. And that's how I see it from when I was back there. You really had to entertain. You had to get into it. You had to embrace the audience. But nowadays, it's just a name up on the hill.
I kind of hear what you're talking about as like live music and live performance, and that being something that used to be more valued, especially here in Baltimore, than it is now.
Very true. That's very true. Back then, the old people call it pantomimed. We did our lip sync performances, but every once in a while we would have an entertainer that literally sang. And that was basically an odd situation to us, because we always lip sync. And if you could sing and you could carry a note, it was like, oh dear God, you're fabulous. Oh my God, then you were the star. But they would come and gone. They would not stay around. They would hang around us to get their little name out there. That was it. And they were gone.
How have like terminology changed from today to this time that you're talking about? Like particularly around how people are identifying themselves or identifying community?
That is a very good question. Back then, you were either gay or straight. Today, there is LBGQTYZH. Anything that you want to identify yourself as, you can be. And they'll stick the alphabet on it and stick it in the line. Because where I go to entertain, where is that countryside? It's that's far out. Darlington. It's a women's event, and you would think, okay, lesbians or straight or bisexual, but then you have to know their correct pronunciation before you address them. And it's like, so how is she doing? That's a they. Growing up, I did not like the word they or it. Those were demeaning to me. But nowadays, it's how they want to be identified.
Yes, I have more questions on here. I guess I was also just thinking about like drag, and how that has changed over time. Has that always been a space for trans people, or has that identity been seen as like cheapening the act or the performance? Because I know that there have been people who like, for example, like I think that there was a time on RuPaul's Drag Race when RuPaul like didn't want to have trans women contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race because he thought that drag is about the act of transformation, and that somehow, I mean, I don't agree with that perspective at all, but I do think that like there are sometimes those things are seen as like separate, when like through media representations, like they're painted as the same. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I remember I used to have a drag sister. Her name was Tracy. But she was a street walker. But when she needed extra money, she would come and do the drag. And it was a lot of girls that I, myself personally, talked them into coming in and doing that because I thought that was safer, a safer way to get, you know, money. But me, myself, I would call myself a mutt because I started out as a drag queen. Now I'm a transsexual, and I don't feel any differently when I'm on stage, but people do see me differently from when they saw me before I had breasts. Some transsexuals have it together. They do, but some are just messy. They are just really messy. So it's like, what do what is it that you do on stage? Are you pretty? Are you funny? Are you talented at all? And every now and then, no, they're not. They just have a name and a few friends that follow them.
What do you see as like an important part of being an entertainer? And like, how do you keep an audience captivated in the way that you do?
Actually, that's a good question. I don't know how I keep them. Well, I guess I do comedy and I MC a lot of events, so they enjoy listening to me or interacting with me. But I have been told several times that I'm the same on stage as I am off stage. So I guess it would be I'm easy to talk to. Guess that would be it. Yeah.
What is a place in Baltimore that doesn't exist anymore that you miss?
One, the Go West. That's where I first got my start, and it became the Mardi Gras, and of course the Hippo and Grand Central. I miss all those places, because they were like my rock when I needed to express myself.
Who is your community?
Everyone.
Did you have any important mentors or elders or teachers?
Yes, actually I did. My drag mother, Angel Terrell, and her drag mother, Anna Baltimore, were my family. And Angel, bless her heart, was a beacon for trying to fit in. Because when the white queens would say, well, you should do this song and you should paint this way, and she would do it. Well, there was three sisters. There was Onyx, Tracy, and Shauna. Onyx would do her thing, Tracy would do her thing, and Shauna wouldn't take crap from anybody. And so I was basically like the black sheep with the mouth part, because I remember telling this one queen, her name was Casey Maharis, do not shave my eyebrows because they won't come back. Well, we had a special event and she was like, I'm not shaving your eyebrows, I already know. I felt two scrapes, whoosh, whoosh, and she had did it. And I was pissed. And no one said anything to her because she was the makeup artist. But here's the thing. Everybody looked the same when she finished their face. They looked like a whole bunch of statues of the same face. And you would come up and you would perform and they're like, well, you're cute, but why you look like her? Why you look like her? Why she look like her? And that's how she would paint.
What lessons would you like other people to know that you've learned the hard way?
Well, when it comes to, I guess, entertainment, I guess stay true to yourself, but be able to bend a little bit, because what you think that that may go over well from being on the outside looking in, stuff that they're telling you could really, really be helpful for you in the long run. And get yourself a good man or woman.
What's special about Baltimore?
Me. This has been a place that I call home, but have been thinking about other places. But then I can't go anywhere because all of my events are basically here. And I think I'm like pretty much too old to go somewhere and start up again, brand new in a different state.
So nothing special about Baltimore except for you?
Just me.
Just Shauna. What is one of your happiest moments?
Wow, there's so many. Finally being acknowledged after so long for what I do, that was and still is a major accomplishment. I've won so many awards to the point I'm like, okay, well, what's next? But the happiest moment was the first time that I was called an icon. That really, really touched me. And at first I was like, icon, they saying I'm old. But then as I thought about it and as they explained it while they were giving me the award, I'm like, oh, y'all like me. But that's been my happiest moment. I'm being named an icon, both in the black community and the white community. So that's been it.
Do you remember who called you an icon and like where you were?
The very first time, Club Buns, I was awarded icon there, and that's been many, 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 many years ago. And recently, the paper, The Sun, honored me at the HIPAA one time as Baltimore's icon. Okay.
That's so nice. How did Baltimore change you?
That's a very interesting question, because I never thought about it changing me. But it has made me aware of a lot of situations that were going on, like catching the public transportation each day is one of Baltimore's challenges. But the more and more I'm out, the more and more I'm talking to people and finding out their history, it helps me with my entertaining about the crowds I want to interact with. So, but Baltimore is a strange place. People come in here and they stay. No, people come in here and they go. I stayed because actually this is my home.
I think that we should take a little break.